if I've already mispronounced that. He will be discussing tree encroachment and organic matter dynamics in dry prairie.
Start off by acknowledging my co-authors, Mario, Brian Lepore, Jim Bockheim, Burl Lowry. I should mention that this project was initiated with a integrated soil science laboratory at University of Wisconsin-Madison, which we were kind of all doing this on the side. So we're kind of limited in our funding and what we could do. But sandy prairie encroachment is a pretty significant alteration to grasslands, and it's pretty widespread. It's having some pretty substantial effects in the lower Wisconsin River Valley. Some of the reasons for encroachment include fire suppression, changes in browsing history, vehicle traffic, invasive plants. In Michigan, there's only about 300 hectares left of sandy prairie, and what was estimated at about 7,700 hectares to begin with. Some consequences of sandy prairie encroachment include changes in above ground diversity, changes in productivity and nutrient storage and biomass, changes in above and below ground carbon storage and cycling, alterations in microbial activity, biomass, and nutrient availability. And I'll be focusing a lot on those last two points. Grasslands store quite a bit of global soil carbon, and they cover a lot of the terrestrial surfaces. So when these grasslands are encroached upon, there's going to be big changes in carbon distribution at regional levels and maybe even potentially global levels. Encroachment estimates about 20% of the current U.S. sink is being increased from tree encroachment into grasslands. This is the conceptual model that we formulated and we're working with on the site, and so we expected to happen. We had our encroachment here, and we were expecting changes in leaf litter fall restitution, that fueling a particular organic matter pool or a labile carbon pool, stimulating microbial biomass and activity, changing nutrient availability, ultimately impacting tree growth, and increasing above-ground carbon sequestration. And then directly, we'd see the change in above-ground sequestration via grassland to forest biomass. Some secondary hypotheses we had were the change in leaf litter fall restitution. You'll have a buffering of the soil climate, and also a changes in carbon and nitrogen ratio of the organic matter. So we expected a decreased rate of decomposition, and that would fuel the increased soil carbon sequestration. Whoops. The specific objectives were to study the amount and rate of woody encroachment on this plot, look at the distribution of above and below ground carbon, study soil organic matter dynamics in physical fractions, and look at microbial biomass activity and nutrient availability. This is the site. It's a 6-hectare sandy prairie adjacent to a 6.3-hectare pine plantation. The climate, continental climate with strong seasonal variations. It's located in the lower Wisconsin River Valley, right here near Arena, Wisconsin. I tried to get an estimate of how prevalent sandy prairies are, and I wasn't able to come up with some really good numbers. They occur on this type of ecosystem characterized by Francis Hull, and that covers about 1.3 million hectares in Wisconsin. They occur, the soils on our plot were this G1 and F18 classification by Anadal, and in north central Midwestern United States, that can range from 1.85 million hectares all the way to 32.53 million hectares, or 1 to 16% of the total area of north central United States might be covered in sandy prairies. So just to get an idea of how prevalent they are, I wanted to get a range. There's a few studies that have looked at biogeochemical cycling in these systems, and these systems are not very well buffered. They have very low clay contents and very low soil organic matter contents, so we were expecting some dramatic and immediate impacts from landscape change. The soils on the site, they're Sparta series, which are sandy mixed mesic entocapillutals, so they're prairie soils. They're formed from sandy glacial outwash about 14,000 years old. Very high sand contents. This is a 99% sand in the sea horizon. very low cation exchange capacities, quite acidic. Densities down here 1.5 to 1.53. The first thing we wanted to do was quantify the woody encroachment on the site, and we took two approaches to do this. The first approach involved in using spatial data, incorporating this into an ArcMap or ArcGIS, and then quantifying the total encroached area as a percentage of the prairie remnant. And we were able to get spatial data from these six sample dates. The second approach was to use transects, so we randomly assigned transects across the prairie remnant, and then we sampled the 1 meter wide transects. We identified tree species, height, DBH, and tree ages are estimated with increment cores and looking at the annual growth whorls. To look at carbon distribution, cycling, microbial biomass, and activity, we used plots, and we randomly assigned four plots on each of pine areas, encroachment areas, and that adjacent pine plantation. We measured tree carbon by species and DBH and predicted the total carbon above ground. We modeled understory dead forest floor carbon using age, using some equations from Bree and Smith et al. We collected soil samples to look at carbon distribution on 10/29/04 and also August 8th. In 2008, and we did that by taking 10 cores, 10 centimeter diameter from those three depths. We monitored microclimate on the prairie and also the pine plot, and with hourly means of solar radiation, air temperature, soil moisture using Hobo Micromet stations. Some of the soil properties that we measured included density, moisture, pH, conductivity, base cations, phosphorus, nitrogen components. We looked at microbial biomass, carbon, nitrogen, potential carbon nitrogen mineralization, total CN, and particulate organic matter. And we used the size fractionation method for particulate organic matter. We analyzed it using this Vario EL3 in the Morton Arboretum Soil Science Laboratory for carbon and nitrogen contents in those particulate organic matter fractions. The stats, we checked normality assumptions, we used ANOVA, we used a repeated measures ANOVA technique to look at differences between our 2004 and our 2008 sampling dates. And when there was, for the most part, no time effects, so a lot of the data I'm going to present today is means of those 2004 and 2008 samplings. We used mean separations using Tukey's test, linear correlations, and the significance level is 95%. The first question, has encroachment occurred? And I think we can say with pretty strong confidence that encroachment is definitely occurring on this plot. You can look at the 1979 data, 2002 data. The mean age of trees on the site is about 11 years. The density, 5932 stems per hectare, DBH, 8.8 centimeters. So encroachment is occurring on this plot. The encroachment rate that we measured was about 0.12 hectares, or about 2% of the area per year. And this is a little bit higher than what's reported in the literature by Jackson and Briggs. And we think it's a result of, if you look at our prairie remnant, it's pretty much surrounded by forests. You have encroachment coming in at all areas. So it's basically an island effect, I think, that way we have a little bit higher encroachment rate. The second objective, what are the effects of encroachment on carbon distribution? This figure shows our components that we measured of carbon stocks. Moving down, you have the live tree understory. This is the particular organic matter pool, and this is the silt and clay soil organic matter, or that most recalcitrant pool. We did not find any differences in total soil or silt and clay soil organic matter pool across our pine prairie or encroachment plots. We did find significant differences in total ecosystem carbon, but you can see that's mostly attributed to changes in live tree and also that understory dead forest floor pools. So that's consistent with what's reported in the literature, that total ecosystem carbon increases primarily from above ground changes, and we did not find changes in soil. The carbon rate of gain we measured was about 1.6 to 2.1 megagrams carbon per hectare per year. This is a little bit lower than what's reported for Pinus radiata in Australia, but we suspect our lower values are probably due to the very low soil fertility on the site. The effects of encroachment on soil carbon dynamics. This is a figure showing the soil organic matter pools that we measured, the 0 to 18 depth, 18 to 38, 38 to 75, and then we have our three landscape types. And you can see that at least with our most labile fraction, our coarse particulate organic matter fraction, we were able to confirm what Billings found in 2006, that you can use size fractionation to differentiate encroachment on these on the landscapes that we measured. We found that coarse particulate organic matter was significantly greater on our pine compared to our prairie plots, with encroachment plots falling in between those. And I should mention that, so these bars are means from 2004 to 2008. We didn't find changes in these soil organic matter components moving from 2004 to 2008. Then looking at that coarse particulate organic matter fraction in a little bit more detail, looking at this carbon to nitrogen ratio and also that palm to silt and clay soil organic matter ratio. So we found an increase with encroachment in our CN ratio and an increase in palm relative to silt and clay. So both of these suggest that we might have not only more organic matter inputs, but maybe a greater recalcitrance or a slower decomposition from that palm. Why didn't we see changes in soil carbon storage on this plot? Other people have. We didn't. We think it was due because we had very little aggregation on our site. So we had very sandy soils. There was very little protection that was like reported by Lowell et al. In 2006, and actually Richter et al. Found the same thing, that they had very coarse texture, sandy soils, and their organic matter was not protected, so they didn't see changes in total soil carbon. Our carbon mineralization rates were 2 to 3 megagrams carbon per hectare per year, quite a large pool of that particular organic matter. The effects of encroachment on biomass, activity, and nutrient availability. This is a table quickly just to show you that we analyzed depth by type in interactions. We didn't find a lot of changes with our soil chemical and biological properties. The ones that I will talk about right now are listed down here. The biggest change we found was in potential nitrogen mineralization, and this agrees with the literature out in Texas and Arizona. Disagrees with the stuff out in Kansas Prairie, but we think this is linked to changes in the litter coming into the system, the nitrogen quality of that litter, red cedar being that 4 times less than the legume species that they measured out in Texas and Arizona. Likewise, we found increases in available nitrogen and phosphorus. And we think that we found increases in our mineralization and nutrient availability, just because we had more particular organic, more labile organic matter coming into the systems with encroachment, and the strong correlations with our coarse palm and our palm pools with extractable ammonium, potential nitrogen mineralization, and extractable brake kind of, I think they justify that. We found something a little bit different with microbial biomass. We did find that it increases with encroachment relative to prairie, but we found pine with very low microbial biomass values. And we think this is due to an interaction of substrate and climate. Our pine soils were, if you look at their moisture and their temperature relative to prairie soils, they were lower in the optimal range compared to our prairie system. So the pine soils seem to be more suited, have a better substrate input, but a poorer climatic system compared to our prairie. We have less substrate and probably warmer, wetter soil. So our encroachment soils were probably somewhere in between there with in terms of climate, and we observed medium palm rates and highest microbial biomass rates. And this is the same sort of thing that Jim and myself have observed in old growth northern hardwood hemlock gaps. Back to the conceptual model, you can see the things that are marked in blue are kind of what we observed. We did not examine aggregation. We observed very little aggregation, but we suspect that because the organic matter was not protected, we didn't see this decreased rate of decomposition. We did not observe an increased soil carbon sequestration. We also didn't observe an increased rate of tree growth, but our soils were quite infertile, and we think that the increasing nitrogen probably did stimulate increased tree growth. So to conclude, encroachment is occurring. It's probably a result of fire exclusion. We didn't find fire scars or charcoal in the soil, and talking with the land manager, they did not burn. And if you want to put this into context, in the United States and also globally, if you extrapolate out our sequestration rate with encroachment, the ranges could be from 0.002 to 0.05 petagrams carbon per hectare per year, compared to 0.2 what's observed in the United States, which is a small sliver of what's observed globally with landscape change. With that, thanks to all the people that helped on this project, funding Morton Arboretum and also the University of Wisconsin Department of Soil Science, Robert and Louise Berkland for allowing us to use their plot, and thank you all for attending. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here.